We continue the shiur in Sichos Haran. We are still on, remember that the Sichos relate to Bitteides and Likutei Maran. This one is Sicha paragraph 141, Sichos Haran, Kuf Mem Aleph, relating to Likutei Maran Tanina, second division of Likutei Maran, Teda Tzadik Beis. Chapter 92. This is the Teda which deals with the Tikkun HaKloli. Tikkun HaKloli is the special formula, 10 special chapters of Tehillim, which Rabbeinu Zal revealed as being the Tikkun HaKloli. Tikkun HaKloli means that which can correct the defect caused by the worst sin listed in the Torah. Chas v'shalom, chil habris, zed avavatola, chas v'shalom, a sin for which the Zayin HaKadosh says there is no tshuva at all possible, but which Rabbeinu Zal says there is tshuva, there is tikkun, and that was the greatest discovery of all time, in all of history. Last shiur we spoke about the background of the Tikkun HaKloli. Why there are exactly 10 chapters. These 10 refer to the 10 kinds of negina, 10 kinds of musical notes, referring to also the Shem Ayin Beis, the highest of the Shemus HaKdashim of Hashem's name, and the referring to the Elam HaAtzilus, which is the highest of the four heavenly worlds in creation. These 10 chapters of Tehillim, exactly these 10, are the ones that contain the 10 mina and agina, 10 musical sounds, which can cure, kaviyachol can cure the Shekhinah. What causes the Shekhinah to bleed, chas v'sholem, dam nidas? We say kaviyachol, meaning as though we could use that term. There is no physical blood. But that term is used. When a woman is a nida, that means she is tummy. That means she cannot be approached. That means that she must be separated from her husband. Kaviyachol, in a spiritual sense, when the Shekhinah is driven away, is expelled, sent to Golus, separated kaviyachol from Hashem, Kutcha Brichu Shinte are separated. The letters Vav Kei of Hashem's name are separated. The He is in Golus, requiring the returning of the He from Golus. The word Tshuva Toshuv He, return Toshuv He Labala. How? By purifying this Dam Nida. The Dam Nida is caused primarily by Chilul HaBris. To perfect this, to correct this, one must know the 10 types of pulses and so on, as we had in the story of the 7 betlas. Now, this was the purpose of the Tikkun HaKloli. What Rabbeinu Zal revealed, Rabbeinu Zal discovered, spent his life, his effort to find out the secret of these 10 chapters, and at first, Rabbeinu Zal spoke about this item in general, revealing the fact that there are 10 such chapters that make up, that comprise of Tikkun HaKloli. Rabbeinu Zal first revealed this. He did not tell yet which of the 10 chapters were, but he did say that at least any 10 chapters in Tehillim would accomplish. Person, chas v'sholem, committed that sin, then, if he says any 10 chapters in Tehillim, it would help. Of course, too, then it was stressed that a person should go to the mikveh on the day that happened. This, too, would help to purify him. But, at the time, there was no mention made of which those 10 chapters were. After a period of 2 years had passed, without mentioning this topic during that time, Rabbeinu Zal again spoke about this topic of the Tikkun HaKloli, and then he said that he wanted to, it was his wish to reveal these 10 chapters. His Talmidim were all excited. They were about to hear it, they felt, but they were not Zecher. Time Rabbeinu Zal mentioned this, he did not reveal yet these 10 chapters. After a few weeks, Nosson Zal came to visit Rabbeinu Zal. This was on Shabbos Parshas Shkolim, just before the month of Adar began. Nosson Zal was there for Shabbos, and it happened, of course, he too was very much excited, tense. He thought that finally this secret would come to the world. At Shabbos, he happened to go into Rabbeinu Zal's private room while Rabbeinu Zal was out, and there he was shocked to see a slip of paper on which were listed these 10 chapters. They were numbered in order. Nosson Zal looked at it with the intention of trying to photograph this list in his mind, memorize the 10 chapters. Nosson Zal could photograph a sefer at a glance. He could memorize whole sfarim. Those who have learned his sfarim, the Kutei Halachas, could see that his bikiyus is one that is unmatched in the annals of bikiyus. And yet here, Nosson Zal himself writes, looking at the short list, these few numbers, 10 numbers, he could not grasp this in his memory because he was filled with fear, an immense fear that he might be caught by his Rebbe, by Rabbeinu Zal, doing something that was improper. It was not Rabbeinu Zal's wish yet to reveal it, and so this fear actually stopped his mind memorizing these numbers, the list of 10 chapters. So he went out the next day, the day after Shabbos Parsha Shkolim. Nosson Zal approached Rabbeinu Zal about to leave. He begged Rabbeinu Zal to reveal those 10 chapters. Rabbeinu Zal refused. He said there is a time for everything. This is not yet the time. Nosson Zal left. This is important. Nosson Zal left, went to his own city. He lived in the city of Nemrov, which was some distance away. A few days later, Rabbeinu Zal did reveal the 10 chapters. Not only did he reveal them, but he revealed them to two special Talmidim. One was Reb Naftali Zal, who was Nosson Zal's closest chaver in life. His closest friend, they were inseparable together throughout their lifetime. They were the two leading Talmidim of Rabbeinu Zal. Naftali Zal was considered, the unusual item was that these two were called the two mitzvahs of tzitzis and tefillin. Naftali Zal was called the mitzvah of tzitzis, Nosson Zal the mitzvah of tefillin, by Rabbeinu Zal. The chiddush is that any person would ordinarily think the opposite. The word Naftali is the letters tefillin. So a person would think that the Naftali Zal was the one that symbolized, represented the mitzvah of tefillin. The Rabbeinu Zal revealed otherwise, but these two were the main Talmidim of Hakim of the Rabbeinu Zal. Naftali Zal was one of those to whom this was revealed. Second one was Reb Aaron Zal, who was the official Rav, rabbi of the city of Breslov. Rabbeinu Zal's city, Rabbeinu Zal was the Rebbe. Rebbe called the Breslov a Rebbe. But in the city itself, there was a Rav, official Rav in the city, who answered all questions of law, rabbi of the city. That was Reb Aaron Zal of Breslov. Rabbeinu Zal revealed this to these two, not only revealed it to these two, but also officially appointed these two as witnesses to his statement. The statement saying as follows, that these 10 chapters of Tehillim are the Tikkun HaKloli. They are a complete Tikkun, complete, they leave nothing out. The entire chilul is corrected completely with nothing remaining, nothing else needed. Secondly, a revelation that from the advent of time, the very first beginning of time, the first Tzaddik Gomor, who was Adam HaRishon. Adam HaRishon, Adam was the holiest Tzaddik in his time, and of course, practically of all time, because he was so holy and so great. The Gemara says he was the rabbi of all who were his students at the time. All the leading angels in heaven came to Adam HaRishon for lessons. Angels are very learned and very clever and very much superior to the mentality of humans. Yet Adam HaRishon was far above these angels who are heavenly bodies. He was from a higher world. Rizal explains the heights that Adam HaRishon reached, the time of creation itself. Even his body was from the upper worlds. So he too was the first one who strived, who spent his lifetime in search and quest of the discovery of this hidden formula, these 10 chapters of Tilla. He did not succeed. Following him, there came his son, Shase Enosh, the good sons, the learned ones, the subsequent Tzaddikim, Chanoch, who was so great, he became Chanoch, lived till the age of 365. That means he completed the 10 Sfidos while during his lifetime. Shin Samach Hei, 365. Shin, hundreds, represent the three upper Sfidos. Kesa Chochma Bina. Samach, tens, represent the six next Sfidos. Vov of Hashem's name. Chesed through your side. The letter Hei is the Malchus. He completed those and then he left the earth and became the chief angel in heaven, the Reish Yeshiva of the Masifta Derikia, the Malach Mentes. During his lifetime, too, he too searched above all for the revelation of this formula. He did not succeed. Throughout all these subsequent generations, every tzaddik searched for it, attempted it. Some of them, Ben Adel said, did not succeed at all. Some did succeed partially. They had reached a certain plateau, partial idea of these 10 chapters, and then they were suddenly nostalgic. They passed away. They did not complete it. Ben Adel says, Be'ezras Hashem, giving thanks to Hashem, I succeeded with the help of Hashem, and I have this formula to reveal to the world. Saying these 10 chapters, of course, it is best if a person says them with deep kavanah, to put his heart into it, feeling, concentrating the words, but they are beneficial even if a person just says them without any, just to read them off itself, also they are of extreme benefit. Now, a second item, Ben Adel also, in addition to this, also appointed these two witnesses, Naftali Zal and Abadon Zal, witnesses to something that will take place after the Histalkus of Ben Adel. After Ben Adel's Histalik, he stated a promise, a vow, with these two witnesses to testify to this for the future. After Ben Adel's Histalkus, any person who will visit Ben Adel's Tzion, his grave, his shrine, in the city of Uman, and who there will say these 10 chapters of Tehillim, and will give a coin, the lowest coin, pruta, a penny, for the sake of Ben Adel's neshama, the vow is, Ben Adel said, I will do everything in my power, to the furthest extent, to help that person completely. Zayin Kodesh says there are 7 levels of Gehenna, one lower and worse than the other. It is possible for a person to descend through his sins, Chas V'Shalom, lower than the first level, to the second, the third, to the seventh level. Seventh level, Be'eshachas, lowest level of all. Zohar Kodesh says it is also possible for a person to be so low, such a severe sinner, that he can be placed under the seventh level of Gehenna, Chas V'Shalom, beneath even these seven levels. First, he can be placed there, and that is called the point of no return. Nobody can ever escape from there, can ever return from that level, that low level, the subterranean level of Gehenna, because for that person, there is no cure. There is no making amends for his deeds. Abinadab said, my vow is that a person who is that bad, that he is ensconced in the seventh level of Gehenna, or beneath that level, even below that, I promise that I will take that person out of Gehenna. Abinadab will rescue that person. This is the power, of course, of Tzadik Emes, which is known. Tzadik Emes has this power. We'll learn much more about it later on, how it's done. We've already had some shulam on that. It is fact, known fact, that the Tzadik Emes has the power to visit Gehenna and at his command to release anyone that he wishes to. In this case, Abinadab said, I do make this promise to one who visits my Tzion, no matter what he did during his lifetime, no matter what his record is, no matter how low he is, even if he is in the point of no returning Gehenna, I will take him out personally. These two witnesses were appointed. Two very trustworthy witnesses were appointed to testify to this for generations later. Now, first, for a moment, let's see who those two witnesses were. The Naftali Zal, as we said, was Reb Nosson Zal's closest friend. One of the two Talmidim Muvhokim, closest Talmidim of Rabbeinu Zal. Reb Nosson Zal, of course, was the main Talmud. Rabbeinu Zal himself stated that Reb Nosson Zal's being a student is what will keep Rabbeinu Zal's light shining forever afterwards in the future. Because Reb Nosson Zal recorded the words of Rabbeinu Zal, his Sfarim, his Sichos, and so on. Reb Nosson Zal to Rabbeinu Zal was like Yeshua to Moshe Rabbeinu. He was like Rabbi Abba to Rabbi Shimon ben Yechoi Zal. Rabbi Abba is the one who recorded and wrote the Zohar HaKadosh. Nosson Zal was like Rabbi Chaim Vital Zal to the Arizal, all the Kisvei Arizal, all those vast treasures of Kabbalah by the Arizal were recorded by Rabbi Chaim Vital Zal. If not for Rabbi Chaim Vital Zal, we'd have practically nothing left of the Arizal's writings. Very few scattered statements by other Talmidim, which are not even reliable. And this is the case of Reb Nosson Zal in recording the words of Rabbeinu Zal. Reb Naftali Zal did not do much writing. On the other hand, he is the one that was known for his Koyach HaTfilah. He taught, he injected, he imbued the later students the power of Tfilah and his Bedidus. Naftali Zal's tefillah was one of such dveikus. He was so attached to Hashem when he davened that he was completely oblivious to anything that took place around him. If the building he was in would catch fire, would go up in flames, he would not stop, he would not be aware of this. If there was a riot going on, and these are actual stories that did take place, there was an actual riot going on around him, he would have no idea whatsoever of this. He'd be completely indifferent to it because he was so absorbed in tefillah and davening to Hashem that he felt himself in the throne of Hashem and had no inkling of what went on around him. Abaron Breslov Zal was the tzaddik benov, the city of Breslov. In this case, we know only from the words of Abaron Zal about his greatness. Abaron Zal said that Abaron Zal was so pure and so great that Abaron Zal used his influence, his background influence, very rarely. If he wanted something from heaven, he asked for it. But there were rare cases that Rabbeinu Zal used his background, his ancestral influence, schus avos, to get something accomplished. And this was one of the cases. Rabbeinu Zal said he used his schus avos to get to Rabbi Aaron Zal, to become placed as the Rav of Breslov. And one time he said to Rabbi Aaron Zal these words. Imagine the zechus of Rabbeinu Zal saying to one, "I like you very much." Imagine the zechus of a Talmud tearing up at Rabbeinu Zal. "I like you very much, and therefore I say two things to you. One, I give you a bracha that in Elam Haba you should understand my words, my simple words. Not the depth, but the simple words." This gives you an idea of what Rabbeinu Zal's words are like. Baruch Zal was so great at tzaddik, so deep he was, that of, who knew more than all others, he should be zecher, not here, but in Elam Haba, where the Shema becomes so elevated, to understand Rabbeinu Zal's sichas chun, the light words. Yet, that was some bracha. Secondly, I like you very much, therefore, when Mashiach comes, I am going to bring Mashiach to you. This was Rabbeinu Zal. Of course, he too was very close to Rabbi Nosson Zal, very close friends. And Rabbeinu Zal had an illustrious lineage. Afterwards, his descendants were all leading Rabbonim, Gainim, Gedolim. In Breslov, in Chigrin, Rabbi Nachman Chigrin Zal was his grandson. His great-grandson was my father, Shalom. Zechut to be of that same lineage, Abadon Zal's great-grandson. And the other names in the family, of course, Tamidim of Rabbeinu Zal, Tamidim of Rabbi Nosson Zal later on. He was the second one of these witnesses appointed by Rabbeinu Zal in both cases, during his lifetime and after his lifetime too, that this thing would be eternal. But the fact, again, the fact that these 10 chapters of Tehillim, they are not the longest chapters of Tehillim. In fact, they're very brief chapters. It takes only a few minutes to say it. It's very simple. Rabbeinu Zal added this point, "I reveal too," he said, "that this is one of the simplest and easiest things to perform. To say these 10 chapters, though the benefit is so immense, so incomparable, yet this is one of the easiest things to do." Despite this, Rabbeinu Zal said, "Chacham odef minavi," a tzaddik is a prophet too, to predict for the future. This was said about 180 years ago. 180 years, this prediction was stated. For the future, let it be known that as simple as it is to say these 10 chapters of Tehillim, it's going to prove to be the most difficult thing out. Why? It takes 3 minutes, no effort, no expense, because there is going to be opposition to this. And that's the most amazing thing of all. Opposition to what? This is not Rabbeinu Zal's own words. These are taken verbatim, literally, from David HaMelech's Sefer Tehillim. 10 chapters of Tehillim. What can be wrong in the eyes of any Jew, any religious Jew, a Yirei Shemayim, what can be wrong in saying 10 chapters of Tehillim? And yet, Rabbeinu Zal predicted there will be machlikus, there will be opposition, there will be an enmity, an animosity, an adversity to the idea of saying these 10 chapters of Tehillim. Because the Satan, the Baal Dova, knows the great value of this, he will create a hatred, a machlikus, a disunity among the leaders of the Jews. So we find that there'll be misnagdim throughout the different generations. In those days when there were very great leaders, Gedolim, there was such misnagdim to this idea that they issued declarations not to say the 10 chapters of Tehillim. Is this conceivable? Is it logical? Could it be possible that a person, any person, would say, don't say the 10 chapters of Tehillim? What could be wrong in saying them, even if a person did not know the secret behind it, did not know the privilege and the benefit that goes with it? Why shouldn't a person, without full belief in it, why not say it on a gamble? Maybe it'll help. After all, it's still 10 chapters of Tehillim. Why be so opposed to it? Why, more so, even to this day, even in our time, imagine in our time, what do people in our time know? Which person today, the strongest misnagid in the world, no matter how bitter a misnagid he may be, could he say that he can match himself to the chachma, the wisdom, the gnusha of Rabbeinu Zal? How could he set himself up as an opponent to Rabbeinu Zal's words? And yet today too, we find that the same bitterness exists in reference to the Tikkun HaKloli. Today too, there are Tikkun HaKlolis printed, distributed, contributed throughout the world, even at the holiest place in the world, the Kesel Ma'anovi. We have placed tens, hundreds of Tikkun HaKlolis there. And if you go to the Kesel Ma'anovi today, you'll find there are perhaps two or three Tikkun HaKlolis, just a memory of that. The rest have been absconded with, stolen, some cases actually torn, by misnagdim. These are misnagdim who go dressed in the garb of Hasidim. These are the ones who go dressed with the long coats, with all the regalia of the outstanding leaders of Jewry, and they will take a tillim, Rachmon al-Islam, 10 chapter tillim, and actually rip it apart with Hashem's name in it, because of some hidden illogical opposition which has no logic, no sense to it at all. This only fulfills the prediction of Rabbeinu Zal, that the Satan, this angel of evil, knows the value, and it's very bad for him if this benefit was spread among the Jews. It would do away with the Satan, it would bring Mashiach, it would bring the Shekhinah back, he would lose his position in life. Therefore, he injects this poisonous venom into the minds of other Jews. So Rabbeinu Zal said, know then that in the future, until Mashiach comes, there'll be this opposition. It'll be very difficult for a person to say the Tikkun HaKloli, to overcome this opposition. But for those who say it, on the other hand, those who do say it, those who are zechet to say it with emunah, their credit, their sechar, their reward will be multiplied manyfold, because they will receive the reward of all those minions who do not say it. Note today too, even among those who are not misnagdim, among those who know nothing, those who are apparently neutral, you come to a minion. When the Tikkun HaKloli is said, you have certain people who are strangers or semi-strangers see it being said and somehow are drawn away. They refuse to take part. This the Gemara says in Pesachim. There is a chedem min HaShemayim, by Hashem. The one who refuses to take part in a mitzvah done by a tzibur. Mitzvah could be even making kiddush, drinking with tzibur. Kol Shekein is saying Tehillim b'tzibur. Kal v'chomer b'mileisha kal v'chomer is saying Tikkun HaKloli. Yet there are ones today, some inexplicable reason, who will abstain from saying Tikkun HaKloli with the tzibur. Therefore, the Rabbeinu Zal stresses this point. Ashrei, ashrei to those few who remain pure, who remain with the true, simple, sincere emunah in the Tzadik Emes, v'zecha, to absorb, to receive, and to act on this Tikkun HaKloli, which is the greatest revelation in history. We should be zecha, be emes, to say it with true feeling, with kavona, but to receive the tikkun that holds in store for us. Mm-hmm. We should also be zecher very shortly, Shemayim, Chastei Hashem, we should be zecher to get to Rabbein Azal's Tzion. There to say it, I know that thus we are being tied to Rabbein Azal by Elam Hazeh and by Elam Haboh. Rabbein Azal adds, we find that there are some Sfarim who print these Sfarim authored by very great Tzaddikim in the past, who write these 10 chapters as a tikkun. They do not use the term Rabbein Azal used, but they write it as though they themselves discovered this formula. This seems like plagiarism. They are stealing the rights of the tzaddik who discovered it, stating as though they themselves were the ones that discovered it. Nassazar says, note that all those Sforim, there are many of course, but the few that do write it, note that they were written, authored after Rabbein Azal's Astalkus. So therefore we know who was the first one, who was the one that revealed it, and that these apparently, obviously, are not telling the truth. The question, of course, is why should they do that? If they do believe it, in it being that effectual and that holy, why shouldn't they write the true author? The answer is that they are very well-meaning. They mean well. They know that there is opposition to the Tzaddik Emes. If they would write it in the name of Rabbein Azal, then it may be that others would refuse to accept their writings. This way, if they write it in their own name, and they are classified as Misnagdim, their followers would accept it. So they'd be Mizakya, the world. They give a chance to certain people to say the Tikkun HaKloli without knowing where it came from, really, but meanwhile they are saying it, and there is a zechus for that many more people in the world. Rabbein Azal says, the inyan of emunah. We speak about emunah so many times, and yet, of course, it is not enough. There is no limit to how many words should be said about emunah, because emunah is the foundation for everything. All of the Jewish religion, the Jewish people, the Jewish nation depend upon the basis, the foundation is emunah. Yesod is emunah. Emunah, Rabbein Azal, also depends upon the mouth of a Jew, because emunah is the 10th sfida, which is synonymous to the sfida of Malchus, the last sfida. And Malchus is called Malchus Peh. Every one of the sfidas corresponds to a certain part of the body. Malchus corresponds to the mouth, Malchus Peh. Therefore, Rabbein Azal says that there is a key, there is a solution to a person who has problems with faith. If a person, Chas V'Shalom, has doubts in faith, he wants to correct these doubts. He is bothered by bad thoughts, thoughts that torment him, or he's skeptical about certain items in faith. Then he can cure himself through emunah b'peh, by speaking words of emunah, speaking words about emunah, and just by speaking them alone, by saying these words, will find that his emunah becomes strengthened. At the same time, in order not to weaken his emunah, by the same token, Rabbein Azal warns, a person must also be very careful, extremely cautious, not to speak words of apikorsis, of atheism, at any time, even if a person wants to mock them, to joke about them, to criticize them. Do not quote directly words of atheism, because this means that your tongue, your mouth, is repeating words of kafida, chas v'sholom, and it does take effect. So a person should be careful never to quote words of kafida, because this could do harm, chas v'sholom, to the emunah. And therefore, Rabbein Azal warned, it is forbidden. Kafida means even as a joke. You cannot joke about faith. Above all, Above all, as an extreme warning, you cannot make jokes about heaven. Never speak about Hashem Chas V'Sholom in the form of any kind of a joke that you might consider a harmless joke. You cannot place yourself on the same level. You cannot speak about a Torah as an equal of yours and speak about it in jest, even if you consider it harmless. You cannot joke about anything at all that is holy. This item, I know how important this is, sort of sensed deeply, because I recall as a child my father used to speak about this point with such awe, reverence, warning, never joke about anything of Kedusha. The Torah, Tzadikim, Heaven, Chas V'Sholom, be careful not to make jokes about them, because these jokes could backfire, Chas V'Sholom. You must always speak with the greatest degree of respect about anything that is Kedush. In the Sichai Saran, this statement, of course, again, is based on the Kutim Aran, Tanina, 2nd chapter, Torah Mem Dalad. There, the Benedict speaks about this point of Emunah Lepeh. In the Sichos now, Nosanzal adds that the Benedict also elaborated further and said, if a person ever finds that he's bothered, tormented by doubts and Emunah, then he should immediately stand up and say very firmly, clearly, to enunciate very clearly, Ani ma'amin be'emunah shlema, I believe firmly in Hashem, in the Torah of Hashem, in the Tzaddikim of Hashem. And this will help to strengthen his emunah, help to dispel Chas V'Sholom these doubts in emunah. To elaborate further, Nosazal says that the Yetzer Hara and Kfida come from, what is their origin? Comes from the Gevurois Dinim, harsh Dinim, called Dinim Nefulin. There are Gevurois of Kedusha. We say, we count Sfida. In the Sfida you have Chesed Gevura. Right now we're on the Sfida of Gevura, second week. The second Sfida is Gevura. Tonight's Sfida is a very special one dealing with that word. We don't want to say it, but you'll notice that when you count Sfida, you'll find that the word Gevura is very much multiplied, tonight's Sfida. And so these Gevurais, which means harshness, dinim, could be, on one side it could be Kedusha, Gevura de Kedusha. The Kim is Gevura. On the other hand, you have these dinim, that in a fool, they've fallen into the deep abscess of the klipas, of the evils, and there, of course, they result in harshness, in tumor. So words, dibur, comes from Gevura, dinim, malchus, which is also part of Gevura, the side of Gevura, and words that are evil, kefida, come from these dinim nefulim. Person is supposed to strengthen the Gevura of Kedusha, which is the Malchus Pev Kedusha, to overcome these evil words with words of Kedusha, to be able to defeat this evil, elevate himself to an Emuna of Kedusha. This is what's meant by the Gemara. The Gemara says that if a person is ever attacked by the Yetzer Hara means the evil inclination, which could be kafida, could be atheism, thoughts of atheism. What should he do? He should counterattack with the Yetzer Tov. Take the Yetzer Tov and counterattack. How? Get the Yetzer Tov very angry, filled with dinim, harshness, battle. Go out and counterattack against the Yetzer Hara. What kind of language is that? The counterattack be angry. Get the Yetzer Tov angry. Because anger, gevura, dinim, harshness, is what's necessary to overcome the Gevura Dinim of Tuma. Therefore, the Benazal continues. The next topic, which is it's a lengthy topic. I don't think we can make this. Let's only elaborate a little more on what we just said. It would be of benefit to understand to a degree. Let's go a little bit deeper now. That word deeper, I know, is a dangerous word because we lose a lot of customers that way. A little deeper in that, the Nusazal's explanation. Nusazal's explanation, of course, are very clear, very lucid. His wording is very special. Nusazal says, imagine getting the benefit of Nusazal's elaborating on the Rizal's Kabbalah. Rizal says that the three upper spheres are called the Moichen, three parts of the brain. The three parts are Chachma, Bina, and Das. Those are the three upper spheres. These three Moichen, they are three, it's true. Actually, there is Chachma, Bina, Yutke. What is Das? What is the third one? A Das itself branches out into two parts. It becomes the first two of the next seven spheres, Chesed and Gevura. Das becomes divided into Chesed and Gevura. So what you really have, basically, is not three Moichen, three parts of the brain, but four. There's Das, there are two parts of Das, Chesed and Gevura. This Chesed and Gevura also are the power of speech. This Das becomes the power of speech, so that we then have Malchus Peh. The power of speech consists of both Ish and Mayim, fire and water, which is Gevura and Chesed. Now this, the Masazal says, we could see, again, basically, three upper parts of the brain. They divided, become four. These four are what remain. That's why we have the tzitzis themselves. Tzitzis, mitzvah tzitzis, which is the mitzvah that we envelop ourselves, even on Shabbos. Because on Shabbos, especially the meichen of a Jew on a higher level, there are four tzitzis to cover the four parts of the brain. The tefillin have four parshas in them. Four parshas in the tefillin, also corresponding to the four parts of the brain. But the tefillin give us a further clue. Because on the tefillin, in a place next to the brain, you have two shin. You have a shin on one side with three heads, the other side a shin with four heads. This tells us that the original meichen of three start with three, and then they are eventually divided. The das becomes divided into two parts, and the three become four. These are the two shinim, the shin of three meichen becoming four, and this too will explain what we started to say. In fact, how can a person be zecher to really do tshuva? What is the greatest sin possible? Not an action. A sin in thought. The Gemara says, Koshir Rehure Veda Me'aveda. Evil thoughts are worse than evil actions. The evil thoughts of a person that would drive the Shekhinah into Golis. Driving the Shekhinah into Golis means causing Dam Nida for the Shekhinah. What makes a Nida pure? Shiva Nekiyim. 7 days of Nekiyim of purity. These seven, purifying the Mayach, the brain, these two shinim on the tefillin, the three and the four heads, total, the seven nikiyim, which bring about a tara, a kedusha, for the shechina kaviyachol, which stands for the mayach, and this brings back the shechina from Golos. This is the meaning of the malchus peh. How does a person go about purifying the mind by making these statements? An imam of Emunah Shleima, he must express this openly, just as we have in the Kriya Shema, which is the Emunah Sayichud. The Kriya Shema, the din says, you must say, you cannot think it alone. You must speak the Kriya Shema openly, aloud, and stress the words that you believe in Hashem Echud. By saying these words, you purify the Mayach, and this is what cures, Kaviyachol cures the Shekhinah, cures the Bas Melech who is wounded and who is bleeding, brings her back to Kaviyachol Bala, is Miyached once more the Yichud above, and thereby brings about the Gula Shlema. We should be Zechud to this purity. Mayach, Bemaisa, serving Hashem be Emes, with Emuna, with faith, and with sincerity. Every word of the Torah, every word of Hashem, every word of Sdikah Mitiyim, that's a chus of pure emunah. We should be zechut to see with our eyes the coming of Mashiach at Kenan Korayv, the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, the Simcha Kolius for the entire Klal Yisrael, and Heda, Amen, V'yamein.
Amen.